Good morning. Thank you, Janie. So who knew you were going to get a horticulture lesson being at Trinity Presbyterian? See, that, and of course, Janie has things figured out in lots of different ways, but it's an all-encompassing flow of the message. And as somebody said, watching sunsets and watching trees and pine cones, if you don't see God in that, you're not looking. So thank you, Janie, so much. Before we get started with the scripture lesson, glad to be back here with you all today. And I love being with y'all, but this is really why I come. I'm not going to lie. This is why I come. So thank you, Shannon, so much, as always. It was great to see the young folks up here this morning, some of whose soccer matches I have refereed. And I told Dan, and Dan, I'm sorry, I guess I can go back to the car and get them. But I told Dan the next time I was here, I would bring my yellow and red cards. And I don't think I gave any yellow or red cards to the individuals who were up here. Did I ever give you all a yellow or red card? I didn't think so. You know why? Because you go to Trinity Presbyterian Church and you know how to act. Okay, something like that. See how I segued that? Hold on, the rest of the day is going to be just as much fun. Anyway, it's always a pleasure to be with you all today. So let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as thy word is read and proclaimed, help us to open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. Our first scripture lesson comes to us from Isaiah 62, verses 1 through 3. Please listen to and for the word of God. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silence. For Jerusalem's sake, I will speak out until her light shines forth like the sunrise, her deliverance like a blazing torch, until the nations see the triumph of your right and all kings are your glory, see your glory. Then you shall be called by a new name, which the Lord shall pronounce with his own lips, and you will be a glorious crown in the Lord's hand. Our gospel lesson today comes to us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. Again, please listen to and for the word of God. They set out on the king's bidding, and the star which they had seen at its rising went ahead of them until it stopped above the place where the child lay. At the sight of the star, they were overjoyed. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and bowed to the ground in homage to him. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream to go back to Herod, they returned home another way. After they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, "Rise up, take the child and his mother and escape with them to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to do away with him." So Joseph went. Joseph rose from sleep and, taking mother and child by night, he went away with them to Egypt, and there he stayed until Herod's death. This was to fulfill what the Lord had declared through the Gospels, "I called my son out of Egypt." The word of God for the people of God. So, have y'all ever been arrested? No, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Have you ever been on the run from the law? You probably don't want to answer that either. Have you had a warrant out for your arrest? No. Gosh. One of these times I'm going to get to a question that I will let you answer. Have you been on the run from the law? Wasn't one of my more proud moments, but please let me explain. My grandpa had died, and so I was a student at NC State, and I had made the decision to go back to Kansas City, Belton, for those who may be familiar with that area, which is where I'm from, and spend Thanksgiving with my grandma. So, left Raleigh, on the way, everything was fine. Going through Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, wait, let me ask. Do any of y'all have law enforcement folks still living in Louisville? All right, good. Hope not. So I'm driving along, and I'm in the left-hand lane, and that's the fast lane, right? Okay, you all get how that works. So I'm driving along, and there are two cars ahead of me. And yeah, we're probably going 10, maybe 15 miles an hour, not much more than that, over the speed limit. It just, you know, we're in the left lane, okay? Y'all have been there. You know how it works. So all of a sudden, the two cars ahead of me pull over, and we're in a three-lane road. So the two cars ahead of me very quickly pull over to the right, that next lane, into the other traffic. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Oh, I see the highway patrolman there in the median. So I very quickly pulled in to that next lane over. And then as quickly as I could, I pulled over into the next lane over. Thankfully, there was an exit there. So I quickly get off of the interstate. Now, I don't know whether the highway patrolman is behind me or not. So I go up, turn to the left, go across the bridge, you know what I'm doing, and I go back the direction from which I had just come. Y'all with me so far? Okay. So I get to the next exit, and I get off, and I repeat the process. Go across the bridge, get back on, heading the same direction I was originally going. Y'all with me? Okay. So I did not get a ticket, but yes, I was trying to elude arrest. So if you followed all this along, you'll kind of understand some of what Joseph is going through in our story today. Jesus is born, stars over the stables, angels are singing, shepherds come, then men bearing gifts, these wise men, all very exciting. Then Joseph is visited by an angel. He has a vision, with the angel telling Joseph to take his little family and leave quickly to go to Egypt. This is another angel visitation. The first telling him to take Mary as his wife, and she would bear him a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so Joseph did as he was directed, by taking Mary as his wife and traveling to Bethlehem. Everything the angel said would happen did in fact come true. So, here is another visit by an angel with explicit instructions to protect Joseph, Mary, and their child, Jesus. He follows the instructions and leaves and heads to Egypt. You see, when an angel tells you to do something, you do it. Angels can be trusted. Joseph knew full well about the angel Gabriel visiting Mary and instructing her as to what was happening with the Holy Spirit and what would happen with Jesus' birth. If an angel tells you to do something, you can believe it. Joseph also knew the story of the angel of the shepherds coming and telling about the angel visiting them in the fields. The angel said they would find the Christ child in a manger, in a stable, and sure enough, it was exactly as was described. If an angel tells you what's going to happen, then that is what's going to happen. The wise men, the magi, the astrologers, followed the star that appeared and went to Jerusalem to find the child. Herod the king assembled the chief priests and scribes and asked where the Christ child was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea. Let's review for just a minute what the Bible says. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you will come a ruler who will govern my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them just what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." So the three kings went to Bethlehem and presented the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then the wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, because he wished to do the Christ child harm, as he would do any rival. You see, Herod was concerned for his own power. So the three wise men receive a dream telling them to leave and go home a different way. Wait a minute. All three wise men had the same dream at the same time? When was the last time you had the same dream as anyone else? Anybody? Never is the answer. So I'm betting that an angel appeared to these three wise men to warn them about not going back to Herod. So again, when an angel tells you something, you best do what they say. Have any of you all ever been visited by an angel? Anybody? Perhaps our listening audience on the radio. I haven't. But do you know of anybody who has, perhaps, been visited by an angel? Well, think about this for just a moment. What about the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been faced with a decision, not sure exactly what to do? Then an idea comes into your head and makes that decision so much easier. 99 times out of 100, it's the right thing to do. That's the decision. Do the right thing. I submit to you that God is working through the Holy Spirit to guide us in our decision-making process. You see, God gives us the intelligence to make good decisions. God also gives us the free will to make bad decisions ourselves. That free will also allows us to make wrong decisions. There are certainly consequences for the choices we make, good or bad. Well, in this story, we have Herod, and he certainly represents the response of the unbelievers to the news of the coming of the Messiah. He wants to know about it, but is not interested to go 4.5 miles to see for himself. In fact, he's more concerned with the presence of this Messiah, this Christ child, and how that person will interfere with his power, Herod's power, with his position, with his lifestyle. The world is filled with people who, like Herod, want to know but are not actually looking for the one who will save people, save us from our sins. But they're the wise men, the focus of our story today. The primary application would call for identification with these men. In other words, the way the faith looks for God's provisions of a Savior and finding it in Jesus, submits to him and worships him, even though it may not yet be clear how it will all work out. Over and over again, the gospel will call for faith. But as the passage unfolds, it will be clear that that faith in Jesus will be well founded. For the past few minutes, we've been talking about a time to go, leaving to go somewhere. Leave a situation behind. Let's turn the tables for just a moment. The chief priests and scribes were quick to provide Herod with the information he wanted, the answer to his questions. But Did they act on the information? No. Did they leave to go find the Christ child? No. They did not go to Bethlehem, yet they knew what the scriptures had said. They were the authorities, yet they apparently did not believe enough to go see the child in the stable themselves. Some of these priests would be the same ones who would want Jesus put to death at a later time. Consider then the wise men. They invested time, money, dangerous travel, great risks to go worship the Christ child. That's right, they go. Their faith was such that they wanted to see the foretold Messiah. They believed in Christ, though they'd never even seen him. When they did see him, all they saw was a little child on his mother's knee. Without any miracles to convince them, except the star, they did not have much teachings to persuade them, yet they fell down and worshiped him. What they did have was faith. That's right, faith. That's what brought them there. The same faith we're expected to have today. What about us today? We may have the knowledge in our heads, we know the truth, but do we have the grace in our hearts to act on it? As the title of today's message is, Time to Leave, implies, are we leaving something, getting out of a situation? Or, as the title of today's message might imply, time to go, are we leaving this situation but going somewhere? Are we ready to leave and go and do what God wants us to do? Do we have the faith that the wise men had? Go out on our own, using our faith to worship God? Many Christians won't attend a gospel meeting or a second service on a Sunday or speak to others about our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ. Do y'all know what I call the 1045ers? Do y'all know what that means? What is a 1045er? It's someone who shows up for church every Sunday, 1045. They sing the songs, read the liturgy, give, pledge, and then they leave. And we don't see or hear from them again until 1045 the next Sunday. So you see, they're faithful churchgoers, but they're only here on Sundays at 1045. Are you one of those? Or are you one of those who lives out their faith, helping others, telling others about our God? The choice is yours. Are you leaving to leave something behind, or are you leaving to go to begin a new journey of faith in 2025? Amen.